And we will start March by asking you, what is the earliest memory that you have when you're a little girl?
Living in the house that I live in now down on Bitter Creek Road. It's a house that I was born in. I guess I remember Dad starting the fire in the morning, and as soon as I'd hear him, I'd run downstairs and sit on the stove till it got too warm, because of course the house was cold. And that's one of my first memories, was doing that.
Well, how is that different than the house is now? What was it like in the very early memories?
It was cold, and there was in the winter there was no insulation in the house, so of course it was a lot colder than it is now, and the only source of heat was the wooden coal stoves in the kitchen and in the front room.
I remember how cold it was too. What about the living room? Wasn't it different? Or do you remember?
No, I don't remember that. They remodeled it when I was born, but the floors always slanted a little bit, and they still do.
What was on the floors?
Linoleum. Standard linoleum that everybody had at that time. Print linoleum.
I remember that too. Tell me about Bitter Creek. Where did it get its name?
As I remember, my brother Dee sent an order off to Sears or Montgomery, one of the two, and when it wanted to know the address, why, he put it Bitter Creek Avenue, and it's been Bitter Creek to me ever since, and it is named Bitter Creek now.
You heard the story, Marge, that Mom told about Bitter Creek being in one of their old dramas.
No, I don't remember that.
She said there was a Bitter Creek Road in one of the dramas that they put on in Fairview.
Oh.
And that's how they got the name. But that was before your time.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me about the year you were born. What kind of a year was it like?
1936 was the year I was born, and it was a real good year, but we'd had a lot of snow, and Mother said that Grandpa Barris told Dad that he needed to plant all the grain that he could because it would be a good year for crops. They'd had several years of real bad drought and the Depression, and they said this, and it was a good year.
And they had, was it 40 stacks of, or a huge amount of stacks? How did they used to take care of their grain?
They would go around and what they called it a header. They'd put it all into a stack, and then Dad had a threshing machine, and he would pull into the. They could thresh any time of the year, and sometimes they threshed right up till the first of the year. They'd pull into the stacks and thresh the grain long after the snow had fallen. But that's the way they did it. And I remember the thresher, and Dad used to. When he bought the thresher, he had gone to the bank to borrow money, and the bank president says, there's two things I don't lend money on, and that's threshing machines and stud horses. So Dad couldn't get a loan there, and so he went to a Mr. Heiner, and he loaned him the money, and Dad did really well on the threshing machine. He would start threshing in August down in Logan, down in Cache Valley, and then he would thresh up through Bear Lake Valley and into here, and he would be threshing till the first of the year, and he did really well on it while he had it. He had some hair-raising experiences and
tell about
some
the
good
time,
stories.
Tell about the time that it almost got away from him, the thresher.
Well, the one time he was coming down off of Garden City Hill, and there was a lot of pressure on the back of the, with the threshing machine pushing on the going down the hill on the tractor, and he looked around and the threshing machine had come unhooked.
Oh, how scary.
I don't know how he ever did it, but he could tell the story of how he did it, and Dennis can repeat it a lot better than I can, but he told how he managed to get that under control.
He actually jumped off the and ran, didn't he?
I don't remember for sure, but I know after that they always had a pickup come behind with brakes on it so that they could control how fast that threshing machine would go down the hill.
Did you ever go down when he went?
No, I remember being so excited when he came home, and of course the first thing I ran out and did, we used to have a picket fence in front of the house, and I ran out to see what he had brought me. And he fished in his pocket and gave me a penny, and I was just as happy as I could be.
A penny was a big thing in those days, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he go to Cache Valley? Tell me a little bit about where your dad was born.
He was born in Cache Valley. That was his hometown, and that seemed to him to be, he knew there was a lot of grain down there, mm-hmm. and he was known down there, so that's how come he started to go down there. And then I remember until Mother and Dad died that they still had checks in the drawer of people that they'd threshed for, and they were never made good. But Dad wasn't much for collecting bills. He would take their word for it, and if they were bad checks, he didn't usually collect on them.
And that's another thing that Dad was noted for, was his honesty.
Yes.
He certainly was. How did you get your name, Marge? Have you heard your
mother
say?
No, I don't really know. No, I never heard.
I think I heard Mom say once that it was just a pretty name. She always liked the name Marjorie.
Mm-hmm. It's spelled different than most. It's M-A-R-G-E-R-Y, and most of them are M-A-R-J-O-R-I-E.
And you also had a cousin named Marjorie,
yes.
Didn't you?
Yes,
maybe,
I did.
Maybe that was the reason. How did you travel and go places when you were a child?
In the back of the pickup. We didn't have a car until 1949. And so during my growing up years, we all piled into the pickup. In the winter, we'd try to cram into the front, and it was pretty congested. But in the summer, we all rode in the back and hung our legs over the side and put the end gate down, and I liked it. It was fun.
It was fun, but, you know, it really was dangerous, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We didn't go as fast as they do now, though.
Mm-mm. How are the roads?
Dirt. It was, I remember the school bus having such a hard time getting that Bitter Creek because the bottom would drop out of the road in the spring, and it was all the bus could do to get up the hill, up where I lived.
I remember
make it
that.
Through the ruts that were in the road, and it was nice when we got oil, because it sure did, sure was coming up in the world when we got oiled road.
Oh boy. Where were the major mud holes? I remember a couple.
Between Fairview and the Sharp Corner, and then a lot of them between, like, Leonard's house coming up to Lon Kennington's. It was always muddy that way, right in there.
I remembered that. Well, where did you go on vacations when you were a child? Or did you have any?
No, we didn't have any. The Balls would have a family reunion once in a while out to Bear Lake, and that was big time if we got to go there. And then I remember we had to kind of draw lots to see if we ever got to go with the folks when they went, like, to Salt Lake. And one time I drew, I was so excited. And when we come down and I looked into the valley, Salt Lake Valley, and saw all those lights, I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd stay in the Moxham Hotel, and there was an elevator, and
be about wore it out.
It was wonderful.
I remember that, too. Well, did you have fun as a child, even though you didn't go on vacations?
I had the most wonderful childhood in the world. I would wish that every child in the world could have as good a childhood as I did. Everybody would be so much happier.
I agree. We had a good childhood.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have any money to speak of, but
no,
we
one
made
did.
A lot of fun. We made our own fun. We played games. We could swim in the creek. We could coast outside. And one of my fondest memories is going after hay with my dad in the winter, and I'd have to clean the knife and fork drawer before I could go, and I was so afraid that... Not...
That's not...
Okay.
That has to be red.
I thought it was red from the start. Oh well, I can tell some more lies.
My name is Martha Kleins, and I'm interviewing my sister Marge Balls at my home on Bitter Creek Road. And today is February the 24th, and the time is almost 2 o'clock, 2:55, or 1:55. And this is recording session number one. Well, Marge, what is the earliest memory that you have?
Probably running downstairs and sitting on top of the heater when, as soon as I heard Dad get up so that I could sit on top of the heater till the house got warm, till it got too warm for me to be up there. And then Christmas was a wonderful memory for me, and I'd start counting the days, 90 days before it was Christmas, because Sears and Montgomery Ward would send out Christmas catalogs, and we'd start dreaming about
them. We looked forward to those.
Forever and ever. And I was always excited about everything I got. The only time I was ever disappointed was one year I snooped and saw what I was getting for Christmas, and I've never wanted to know since what I was getting for anything, because it ruined Christmas for me.
I wish I was more like you. What do you remember about the house where you were born and grew up in?
It was usually kind of cold. In the winter, we depended on coal and wood for our heat. When I was probably, I'm not even sure how old I was, Dad put a furnace in downstairs, in a coal furnace, and that was just like heaven, because the house was warm all the time then. It was very nice. I remember I was in the bathroom having a bath, and Mac and Merrill couldn't have been very old, and I wasn't too old either, but I asked them to bring me some hot water in because the water was cold. We'd fill the tank to see if there was enough hot water to bathe.
And I remember that.
And they poured the hot water right on top of my head, and it burnt my head.
Ooh.
And Mother had to take me to the doctor because it started oozing and it was infected. And it was toward the end of the war, because SALSA had just come out, and that's mm-hmm. what Dr. Treelar gave Mother to put on my head to heal the wounds, because it was...
Ooh.
But it turned out fine. I didn't lose my hair. Might have lost a few brains, but I didn't lose my hair.
I remember that hot water heater. It used to make noises
mm-hmm.
when it was a hard water in it. How is the home different than you might mention that you have that home now, and you've remodeled it and made it?
That home was built by our great uncle
Aldo
Barris, and except for probably maybe 10 or 15 years, it's been in the Barris family the whole time. That's where Mother and Dad had all their children except the youngest one, and he was born in the hospital, and mm-hmm. he passed away. But that home has a lot of family history, and I can feel...
Good
I
feelings.
Always, I feel so welcome and so happy and content there, and people that come into my home say it feels good, and it does feel good.
I feel close to Mom and Dad there. We have good memories. Well, tell me about the Bitter Creek Road and where it got its name.
I always remembered it as D starting it, but I understand that it was because of a play that was put on. The Fairview always had a drama company, and that was their entertainment, and they went to great lengths to put on dramas, and they were noted throughout the valley for the good plays they would put on. I know Mother said one time they went down to Auburn with their play. They'd travel clear to Aetna and stay in with people overnight when they would put these shows on. And they went down to Auburn to put on this play, and the bishop, who was a Bishop Hyde, came to the drama director, and he said, "Well, you can start this play at any time. Everybody's here, but," and I can't remember the fellow's name, "and he's ill, so you can start it at any time."
Everyone came. It was their only entertainment, wasn't
it? Yes. Fairview had a lot of, well, I guess all the wards did. In the summer, we had a very good baseball team. Probably Freedom and Fairview were the contenders for
best, the
champions. And Saturday afternoon, they'd quit working and everybody would go down to watch the ball game. It was a very much sought after event, and mm-hmm. everybody enjoyed it.
Definitely.
And they had a brass band. The brass band, I remember the brass band when I was little because they pulled up over to Uncle Albert's place on the 4th of July.
And the 24th.
And the 24th of July, and were serenading there. Mm-hmm. And it was, they had some very good musicians in the valley, and people knew how to have fun. They made their own fun, and they appreciated one another. They would all get together and have an oyster supper, and that was their entertainment.
It was. Tell me what the Barris family was noted for in these dramas.
They were very good actors. I know Uncle Aldo did a lot of reciting. He was very good. And he also did, Uncle Orlando did recitations of Darius Green and the Flying Machine. And I remember hearing that. He did it at one of our programs. And they were very good.
And Grandpa Emery was really good.
I was very young when he died. I was only 11 months old, so I really don't remember him.
Now tell me a little bit about the year you were born, Marge.
They were just coming out of the Depression, and they were just coming out of a terrible drought. And Grandpa Barris, they'd had a lot of snow that winter, and Grandpa Barris told Dad, he says, "Put in all the grain you can because it's going to be a good year." Mm-hmm. And it was a bumper crop, and they did have a good year.
Mm-hmm. Who did Grandpa Emery live with?
He lived with Mother and Dad most of the time. He would go down to Twilla and stay once in a while, but he was always glad to get back because he liked Mother's cooking. Mother was a good cook. Aunt Nellie had helped her a lot because her mother had died when she was 14, and Aunt Nellie had helped her learn a lot of those things. Of course, she had helped her mother, but that's something that she mourned all her life, was the fact that her mother had died so young.
What did she die of?
She had pneumonia. She had helped. It was 1919, and she had helped with the flu epidemic in 1918 and helped nurse through that, and maybe it was a after effect of that, but she died at 56 years old.
52,
I'm sorry, and left a 12-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl, and they were the youngest ones in the family.
And they were lost, and so was Grandpa.
Yeah.
How did you get your name, Marge?
I never have really known. When I was in school, there was a movie that came out, and it was this lady was skating, and she lost her bloomers, and I remember that. And of course, being named Balls, why I always got teased a lot, and it was Marge Balls, Balls All Day, Pees Her Pants and Runs Away. That was one of them that followed me for ever and ever, and didn't bother me, though. I didn't care.
It's followed me. It's always bothered me. I never liked my name.
I went back to it. It's an honorable name, and I'm glad to be named Marge Balls.
Well, it is an honorable name. How did you travel and go places in those old days?
In the back of the pickup. And That's the only vehicle, only transportation we had until 1949, and then Dad got a Ford, 49 Ford. Yeah. But in the winter, it was pretty tightly congested in the front of the truck because we all tried to get in there to keep warm. And then in the summer, we rode in the back. But I rode clear to Wendell, Idaho. That's 300 miles from here, in the back of the truck with Dennis. And it was so hot, I just about cooked. I remember that so plainly. We stopped to wash some grapes that Mother had bought by in a stream, and a snake came rolling out just as we...
Oh.
Yeah, what you remember.
Well, where did you go on vacations?
If we were lucky, we might go to Bear Lake once a year. And Dad didn't have time for vacations. If he went fishing, that was a big deal for him. And they worked awfully hard in the summer, and there was no vacations in the winter. Once in a while, we'd go to Salt Lake, and I was lucky enough one year to do the draw and get picked to go. And I remember coming into Salt Lake Valley, how beautiful it was and how pretty the lights looked.
Well, what did they do for a living that they were so busy?
Well, Mother had a big family. She had six children, and then in the summer, she always had to cook for hired hands. Dad hired a lot of people to help him on the place, and we had to put hay up. Took a lot of people to put the crops in at that time, and at first, they did it all by team and horse, and Dad bought a tractor. I'm not sure the year he bought that tractor, but that saved a lot of manpowers, but we still had a lot of men to work. And
he never liked horses too well, did he?
No, he'd usually hire Bish Tolman to come and take care of his horses for him, because Bish liked horses, and he would take care of the mending the harnesses and taking them, getting them shod and grain. And I remember them putting the burlap things around their noses to keep the flies off, and they were a necessary commodity. We had to have horses.
Dad was really happy with his first tractor, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. I got to tell you about Dad's team, though. He had really a good team, and their name was King and Duke. And King was... I used to drive the pull-off for him in the hayfield, and he was he could do it all by himself. Most people had a team that would pull the hay up for him on the stackers, but I would get on King, and King could do it all by himself. And he was such a big horse, I'd climb up the harness to get up on his back. And that's a good memory of mine. I love that. That was fun.
How did King help up on the dry farm? Do you remember that story, Marge?
No, I don't. I remember going up there to put hay up and how scary it was to pull that big old haystacker up there on that side hill. But they had to go where the grain or where the hay was to put it up. And then in the winter, then you had to go where the hay was to... You'd break a trail into the stack, and the snow would be so deep that I was with Dad several times when he would go to break the trail into the stack, and he'd go just a few steps and then let the horses rest, because they would just lunge forth in the deep snow to try to make a trail.
Oh, yeah.
And
a memory I have is of Easter eggs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when I would go with him, lots of times it was very cold, and he would always fix me kind of a nest, dig a hole down in the hay so I could get down in there and get out of the weather. And then towards spring, you would go with him, and he would, of course, get up there on the stack first and throw out these Easter eggs, and you'd go up there, and there were all these Charlie Brown Easter eggs. Charlie Brown was our local merchant, and they'd get Easter eggs down there. They were those sugary ones.
Sometimes I think they were left from the year before.
Yeah, I think so, too, but we didn't care.
They were good. Well, did you have fun as a child?
Wonderful time. I had a wonderful childhood. I was blissfully happy. Everything was wonderful. I'd come in, and my favorite thing was eating tomatoes. I'd have a tomato sandwich, and she was a good cook. She would make good bread, and we had I remember walking home from school trying to beat the bus, and there would be a big table full of fresh cinnamon rolls that she had made, and she was just such a good mama. Mm-hmm. We had such good food.
She had a good laugh, didn't she?
She did. And my cousin Beverly would knock on the door, and she'd say, "Aunt, well, let me in. I want to sit on your lap."
She was a very loving
person. Yes,
well, let's talk a little bit about your mom and dad. What are their names, and where were they born and raised?
My mother's name was Luella Barris Balls, and she was born in Fairview, Wyoming, and raised in Fairview, Wyoming, and spent her whole life. She taught school over in Big Piney for a short time, and maybe lived in Salt Lake for a short time going to school, but most of her life she spent in Star Valley. Mm-hmm. My father was Ardell James Falls, and he was born and raised in Hyde Park, Utah.
What years?
Mother was born in 1905, mm-hmm. and Dad was born in 1907?
Three.
Okay. 93. I'm not very good. Yes.
And of course, tell a little bit about what your father was like.
Dad was a man's man. He was a hard worker. He was very particular about his farm. Mother said that even with the team, if he had planted the grain and there was many wild oats coming up in it, he would disc it down and replant it because he was so fussy about his place. And it paid off because he was one of the most successful farmers in the valley, and people would look to him to know how to plant, when to plant. Elder Erickson said to his son, he says, "You just watch, see what Cy does, and do the same. When he plants, you plant." And Dad was very particular with watering, and he would take a quilt and a clock and go to sleep down in the field so that he could turn the water when he thought it was time.
He worked really hard.
A very hard-working man. His favorite thing was combining grain. He loved to combine grain. Mm-hmm. And he loved to fish. And in later years, he loved to play pool.
He was one of the best in the valley.
I've had a lot of people say that they like to go in and watch Dad play snooker in the pool hall.
Mm-hmm. He was good. What did you like to do, March? Did you prefer being outside?
I always wanted to be a boy. My dad said that he had six children, and the only one that really wanted to be a farmer was a girl, and that was me. I wanted to be a farmer, and I always liked to be outside with him. I was probably not real good with Mother in the inside because I wanted to be outside doing things that Dad did.
Very outdoorsy, yeah, and you still are.
I wanted to go after hay with Dad. That was the highlight of my life, and it was so much fun, and he would make me a nice little warm nest when we got down there so that I wouldn't freeze. And, mm-hmm. and then Easter time, the Easter Bunny would lay eggs on top of the stack. It was really wonderful. We'd go down there, and there'd be all these Easter eggs. They had Charlie Brown written all over them, but Charlie Brown was our local Merc, and that's where we got everything, and and I'm sure they were from Charlie Brown's, but the Easter Bunny brought them, as far as I was concerned.
What did your dad mostly wear?
He always wore bib overalls, and when I got older, I was actually embarrassed because he would wear bib overalls with a tie and a suit coat. But
he was dressed up.
That was his dress, and that was his comfort, and I just would give anything to see him in his bib overalls. And he was a wonderful dad.
Now tell me a little bit about your brothers and sisters, and tell me in order about them.
Ardell D. was my oldest brother. I remember him. We had an old blue chair, and it was in the house that I live in down there now, and he would sit over there in the corner, and he would read Mutt and Jeff in comic books, and he would just laugh and laugh.
I remember that.
That's probably one of my first memories of Dee. I remember I had the day I had my tonsils out. Beverly and I both had our tonsils out the same day, and when we came home, why, Dee came home. He had been working over in putting hay up over in Big Piney, and he came home that day. And then, not too long after that, he and some of his friends joined the Navy. Mm-hmm. And when he came home, why, I'd had this picture of Dee in his Navy outfit in my binder, and this Joyce Neuswander happened to see it in our home ec class, and she says, oh, I'd really like to meet him. And she did meet him, and they did get married. And mm-hmm. then he died very young. He was 56, 55. And left his family. He had a little girl that was only 7 years old when he died.
That was really sad.
And then my only sister was the next one, and that was Martha. Martha Balls, and we used to call her Mop Balls, and she didn't like it. She always had pretty legs, and she never did. I was a pain in the butt before, I know, because I was always there when she had her friends up. And
well, there's 4 years difference in our age.
Yeah, but we sure do. I sure do love her now, and we really do enjoy each other.
Yes. And I was more the, we used to say, the house cat, house coat.
Yeah, she'd sit in the house and watch us outside playing in the snow and just laugh and laugh and laugh, but she didn't want to go out and get cold. She'd rather read.
I like to read. Okay, who was next in line?
Dennis was the next one. Dennis Franklin, and he's 2 years older than I am. And he always invited me to go fishing with him. We'd go up Willow Creek fishing, and I know I was glad to go because I like to do that, but I think the only reason he took me so I could pack the bait and the lunch, and he'd say, come on, Marge, come on. I would be dragging behind him, and then I would go duck hunting with him, and I liked to do that. And
he was always kind.
He was always, he was always good to me. He's always, when I lived down in Ogden, why, he was always there to help me, and he's a good brother. And then I have Merrill as the next one, and Mac. They were my two younger brothers, and they were a pair, and I used to put their hair up when we'd have our class teacher pictures taken. I used to put their hair up in pin curls. They look really cute with their freckles and their pin curls. But I enjoyed both of them. We had a lot of fun together. We would go up the canyon. We'd watch Tarzan and Gene Autry and Roy Rogers on the Saturday night movies. And then we'd go up the canyon and pretend we were Tarzan and run down the hills. And it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Were they a pest?
I don't really remember them being a pest. I guess I was. I don't remember them being pesky.
You enjoyed them.
I did.
Now tell what you remember about when Merrill and Mac were born. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, I remember I was sent up the road for a walk. I remember that when, I'm not sure which one of them was born.
Were all your brothers and sister born at home?
Yes, they were all, except the last one. And I remember Dad running upstairs to bring probably Mac up to us when he went to take Mother to the hospital when Jerry was born, Jerry Arden, that was the youngest one. And I remember that, but he's the only one that was born in a hospital, and he passed away. But
what did he pass away from?
He was operated on in Salt Lake because his stomach didn't have an opening out of it, and so probably now he could have been saved real easily, but at that time he died.
I remember Mother saying that the doctor said if he'd been a girl, he might have survived because girls are tougher. Mm. Uh, What experiences do you recall having with your brothers and sisters that stands out in your memory?
Well, I think one of my fondest memories of when I was a kid was, and I think probably Mac and Merrill would go with me, we went down to, and I'm not even sure about that, but I remember going down to see Aunt Luella Millward down the road. She was my great aunt, and she lived down there with her invalid son, and
I remember that.
I used to love to go down there, and everything in the inner house was intriguing to me. She would show me things, and one time she had just taken a light and put it in an old heater that she wasn't using anymore, and she says, "Now look how pretty this is," and she had colored paper around it, and it was pretty. And then she, during the Second World War, she had a boy named Dean, and he was shot down over Germany, and she always said that he was going to come home, that he was alive. They told her he was missing in action, and she had a little grove of trees down there. There was many trees around her house, but she would go out and pray for his return, and she was so sure that Dean was going to return, and so we started piling wood for a bonfire for when Dean came home. And
I remember
that. That's one of my fondest memories when I was a kid, was going down there, and I don't know how much help I was, but I felt like I had piled that whole pile, which I'm sure I didn't, but I felt like I had. And then Dean did come home, and they did have a big celebration and a big bonfire, and Mom and Dad made me stay home and take care of Mac and Merrill, and I stood out on the porch, looked down the road at that big fire, and I was crying. And so I went in and woke the boys up, and we walked down there, and about the time we got down there, was over, and Mother and Dad loaded us in and brought us back home. But
that was quite a thing, wasn't it?
It was a wonderful thing.
And that was after World War II.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember any other traumatic things about the war?
Well, I remember Mother, she would listen to the news, and she would be so concerned. And I remember our Life magazines. We had one Life magazine, and it showed pictures of boys in a ship. And she was so sure that one of them was Don Harmon, who had worked for Dad. She was really sure that that was Don Harmon in that picture. I don't know whether it was or not, but she was certain that that was Don Harmon. And it was a very traumatic time. They had ration stamps. You could only have so much sugar. You could, you know, we could only buy so many tires and shoes. We were only allowed so many shoes. Mother had to go and get special shoe stamps for me because I was very hard on shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we didn't have any sugar or any syrup, so she would put molasses on her pancakes, but I never did like that very good. But we got by through the war much better than most families did because we grew most of our own food. The sugar was something that we had to buy, and most everything else. Dad grew the wheat, we had eggs, we had meat.
I don't remember feeling deprived.
I don't remember feeling deprived either, but I surely do remember the ration stamps.
I do too. And tell a little bit about Cousin Dean.
Mother's nephew, my cousin, Dean, he was the only child of Uncle Cott.
The only son.
Yeah, the only son, I'm sorry. He had daughters, and then he had Dean. And they lived down in Tooele, and he had been on a mission to Mexico, and he was just an outstanding young man. And I think the treaty had been signed with Germany, but this sub came up. They were laying on the deck celebrating the end of the war, and this sub came up and torpedoed them, and Dean was killed. And his mother and father never got over his death. It was so sad, and it was such a needless death.
It changed their lives, though, didn't it?
Yes, they never were the same as a family after that.
That's right. Do Do you remember having any traumatic accidents when you were little? It doesn't especially need to be you, just something you remember.
No, I remember my sister was in a car wreck, and I think I'm going to let her tell you about that. And
what about Mac?
Oh, yes, I remember. I was babysitting for Doug Barris up the road from where we lived down there, and it was on a Sunday, and Mother was to conference in Afton, and Dad had been irrigating, and he had been using our horse named Brownie. And I saw Brownie going up the road, and I thought, oh, those boys have let that horse get away. Dad's going to need that horse. And little did I know that Mac and Merrill had been on the horse, and the horse was notorious for running toward home, and they'd got bouncing on the back of it and had fallen off the horse, and Mac had lit on his head and had a severe concussion, and they didn't think he would live. Mother was in the meeting over to town, and Dad went in and got her, and Dr. Worthen was the doctor at the time, and he was afraid that Mac would not survive. He had a concussion. It was the crack in his head was shaped like an H, and Mother,
he went into convulsions too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And Mother called her Uncle Albert to come over and administer to him, and he promised him he would get better. And when he left, why Dr. Worthen says, I just thought that Brother Barris had said something that could not be, that he could not get better. But Mac did get better, mm-hmm. And he's been a good father and a successful farmer in his life.
An outstanding athlete.
Yes, a very good athlete. He played football for the University of Wyoming, and he's a good man.
Did your friends or family have any nicknames for you? You mentioned it briefly, but do you want to mention anything more about that?
Oh, I don't really remember any nicknames. Being named Balls is enough of a nickname. You don't need any more. I got teased a lot, but I didn't care.
Like you say, we're proud of our name now. What chores did your parents have you do? And did you like them, and how did you feel about them?
Well, I had to clean the knife and fork drawer, and that was in the house, so I didn't really like that. But I gather the eggs, I like that. And
do dishes.
Yeah, I don't. I think I let Martha do the dishes.
We left everything to soak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about Christmas. You love Christmas. What was Christmas like when you were a child?
Well, we'd get the Montgomery Ward or the Sears catalog about 90 days before Christmas, and by Christmas they'd be wore out because we would look through those and dream of what we were going to get and how good it would be. And Christmas would come, and I don't know that we got anything that was in that catalog, but it didn't matter because everything we got was absolutely wonderful, and we were so excited. And we'd usually, when I was little, my Uncle Gene lived next door to us, and we'd open something and run over, probably barefooted, to his house to show him what we got. And I'm sure a lot of it got strung along the way, but we had a good Christmas. And the only Christmas that I was ever disappointed was, and Mother didn't try to hide it very much because it was in the bottom of her closet, and I saw my doll before Christmas, and I never wanted to ever know what I was getting for any gift after that because it ruined my whole Christmas.
Is that when you wondered if there was a Santa?
I don't know. I don't remember that. I just remember looking out the window forever and ever for Santa to come.
Now tell more about the 4th and 24th of July.
On the 24th of July, when I was little, Con Millard lived down the street, probably a mile from us. And on the 4th of July, the brass band would start at Uncle Albert's. They'd come up there and serenade, and then they'd go on down Bitter Creek and around town serenading people. And Con Millard would come up, and he would He would get all the kids, and we would march after him down to Fairview, banging on a pan or whatever we could to make a noise. And
I
thought
that
was so fun. I really remember that. And then the 24th, we always had a program, and then they always had a rodeo, baseball game. It was hamburgers. They even had two stands where you could get what you wanted to eat, and it was homemade root beer and
best hamburgers.
And hamburgers, and it was just a wonderful time. They even had ice cream, and it was just a happy, happy time. The kids had come from all around to participate in the rodeo. We had always had a good rodeo and good program. Fairview was very civic-minded, and we had a drama company. And
what about your mother?
My mother was very loving and very kind. And
no, I mean as far as the programs.
Oh, she loved to. She was very good at reciting, and she'd love to give readings, and everybody enjoyed. They always looked forward to her readings because she would get up there and play act them out, and it was so funny. One of them was Clem Diddlehopper building an outhouse, and that's the one I remember. She always
she'd
dress up in her bib overalls, and it was very good. And then when she knew she had done something funny, why, she'd kind of lay her finger by the side of her nose to probably hide her mouth from laughing.
She was good. She was very good. And she was also a teacher in the Relief Society for years and years.
Yes, she was. And during the war, she raised a lot of money because she was, for the savings bonds for the war effort, she was very instrumental in raising money for...
She was in the DUP, right? Mm-hmm.
The Fairview Ward. They had lots of benefits and raffles and auctions to raise money for the war effort. It was a... And we had savings bonds in school, or savings books, and we'd buy stamps. And then when we got our stamp book full, why, then we could get a bond. And
how much did a bond cost? Do you remember?
I think they were $17.50.
$18.75, I think.
Was it?
And when they matured, they would be $25.
And I know later years when I worked at the Star Valley State Bank, some of those people brought those savings bonds in that had been maturing for 40 years, and they were worth a lot of money. I was just flabbergasted at how much money those people would get out of those bonds.
They had just kept them all those years.
They were good for 40 years. And then they would cash them in, and I could not believe how much they were worth.
For heaven's sake. I don't think I ever got a bond. I just remember filling...
I don't remember. I did have a couple of bonds, I think. But.
Well, how did you celebrate birthdays, March? What special traditions do you remember about those?
Mother would we usually had maybe a cake. I don't really remember we didn't have a lot of time to spend on birthdays because we were always so busy, and mine was May 22nd, and everybody was busy putting the crops in, so.
I don't remember a special.
I don't remember any big party or anything. I don't think I ever had a birthday party, but.
I remember Dad always spanked us.
Yeah, that's right. He did. Yeah, I remember that. And it was fun. We had a good time, but I don't remember any parties or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't miss them. I think the modern kids have too much, maybe. Oh,
probably do. It's too commercialized now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you remember about your baptism, Marge?
Well,
who baptized you?
Some call. I rode over to town with Eldon Grace Erickson, and some call baptized me. I don't even know his name, and that was it.
There was no big deal in those days. I don't remember either. Dad didn't go to church much, and so he didn't baptize us. And
I just rode over them. Nobody was there, but just me and my family.
Mm-hmm. And yet, we were happy about.
Yeah, I don't even remember who confirmed me. I just, probably Uncle Albert, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Uncle Albert was Grandpa Barris's brother, and Grandpa Barris had died when I was 11 months old, so Uncle Albert was my adopted grandpa, and he knew I needed a grandpa, and he was very good to me.
He was a good man.
Yes, and he would invite me to his birthday parties, and then his grandchildren didn't want me to come, so they wouldn't let me come.
I didn't know that. He was a good man, Uncle Albert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, how did you feel about school? What did you do well in, and what did you not like?
Well, I can't say I liked recess really well, and I really wasn't the best student in the world. I had other things I'd rather do. And what
teachers did you like the best?
Probably Esther Crook. I had Barbara Biggle for a teacher when I had her for three grades, and she made these little things out of a bear holding the book, and if you got made your book report to her, why then you got a star on it. And I'd read my book, but I was so afraid of her I didn't dare tell her it until I saw that check mark on my report card. And so I went to her and told her my book report, and she took it off. But I was afraid of her. She was a good teacher, but she was very sour, and I was afraid of her.
I was afraid of her too. I remember. Did you have any unusual or exciting adventures that you recall as a child? Was everything an adventure?
Everything was an adventure. I going to school in Fairview was wonderful. There were four grades, and then we had with the boys.
There were eight grades, actually.
Yeah, there were four rooms, and the boys would play softball in the spring and marbles earlier before the fields were dry, mm-hmm. and the girls would play jacks and
jump rope.
Yeah, jump rope, mm-hmm. and that was a lot of fun. And then during the war, there was always a shortage of candy, sugar, and there was Molly and Charlie Brown in Fairview. They were the two stores, and on Monday the candy man had come, so we would get out at recess, our 15-minute recess break, and we'd run just as fast as we could over to Molly's to get a candy bar, and it was called a Buck Private. And
this was during the war?
Yes, and we were only allowed, like, you could get a candy bar, but you had to buy a box of cough drops to go with it. That was her way of making a profit, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I do remember a Buck Private. That was the name of the candy bar.
Mm-hmm. I remember that too. How hard things were to get.
Yeah.
Our cousin Shirley, that worked in the grocery, would get Mom bananas. You remember that?
I don't remember.
And they were hard to get. Now, do you remember any embarrassing experiences that you had as a child?
Well, you know, it's like any child growing up. You want to belong. I don't remember any really embarrassing things. I guess just trying to feel like I was a part of everybody else and wanting everybody to like you. You had to call and make sure that you were going to wear just the same thing everybody else was. And you just wanted to be a part of everything. And there were six girls in my grade.
Tell how many of those girls are left now.
I think Marilyn Hoops and I are the only two that are left.
The rest have died.
Uh-huh. And they died young.
Mm-hmm.
No, Sherry Allred. There's three of us alive. Sherry Allred's mm-hmm. alive all too. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Not exactly embarrassing, but what other experiences experiences as a child stand out in your memory, or is there anything right offhand? What about camping?
We didn't go camping.
Mom and Dad didn't have time,
no,
did they?
No, we did not go camping. Now, one time we went to Yellowstone Park, and we slept out in the tent the first night, and the whole night I was thinking that these big pools of water were going to come up under us, and so the next night we got a cabin, and they sent me to the store to get some milk, and I was just, and there were bears around, you know, they were, garbage dumps were around there, and I was just walking down this road, and I was swinging these two bottles of milk, and I hit them together, and they broke. I do remember that, and the next, Mother and Dad never went back to the park, because they said every time they turned around, Mac and Merrill were hanging over some hot pool.
Dangerous thing.
And they never went back to the park when we were children.
I remember how there'd be long lines of cars with bears
begging
at the window. Yeah. Why don't you tell your first impression of Grandma Balls?
Grandma Balls was a special woman. She was a character. She had six sons, and I think she was always trying to compete with her sons. She was very artistic and made beautiful rugs and doilies and things like that, but she told stories. And anyway, I had started grade school, and it was Dick and Jane and Grandma. Their grandmother was standing on the porch waving at them in the storybooks, and I built up this image of this lovely white-haired grandma that would be standing on the porch, and we went down to Hyde Park to see her, and I went running up the front porch to have her grasp me in her arms, and she opened the door, and she wasn't a bit like that grandma look. She was quite a homely woman, and she says, "Well, my little Margie," and my heart just sank. And she was a good grandma, but she could tell some real good stories about how the infection from her eyes drained out her ears and things like that. But anyway.
She was a character.
She was a character.
But she made beautiful needlework.
Yes, she did.
And then you mentioned that your first day with the boy was on a horse. Yeah. Tell about that.
Well, the deacons were having a party down in the church house in Fairview, and Mariner Tolman had asked me to go with him, and it was in January, and he came clear up here. He lived over on Spring Creek, and he came clear up here on his horse to get me, and I'm sure it had to be 30 below, and we went down to the party. We rode the horse down to the party. I rode behind him, and coming home, when he brought me home, it was so cold, we about froze, and he had to let me off the horse, and then he had to ride clear over to Spring Creek. I think he probably cut over the hill, and I'm not even sure about that, because we had a lot of snow then. And anyway, that was my first date.
Real exciting, huh? You'd been about 12?
Probably.
11 or 12.
Yeah, deacons are 12, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. And then we were talking about how honest our dad was, and tell about the time his grandson.
Vondell Balls moved up here. That's Dee's oldest son. He was living in Bedford working for the Forest Service, and he went into the bank, Star Valley State Bank, to get a loan, and he talked to
Was it Carl?
No.
Max?
Max Robinson. Mm-hmm. And then in those days, why you didn't go through the paperwork you do today for a loan, and Vondell was getting ready to fill out a loan paper, and Max said to him, Balls, now, are you related to Cy Balls? And he said, "Yes, I am." And he says, "Well, you don't need to fill out this paper." He says, "Your grandfather is the most honest man I know," and he says, "If you're anything like him, you don't have to fill out this paper." And Vondell said he was just dumbfounded that this man would say that to him, and he said, "It made me absolutely determined that there would never be a late payment on that loan. I was going to pay that off with the honor that my grandfather had and the name that he had. And my dad was a real honest man. He always paid his debts, and he expected everybody else to, but he was very honest in all his dealings, and that was what he was noted for.
He wasn't much for going to church. He didn't appreciate going and sitting through church. He'd rather go fishing on Sunday, but he was a mighty fine man.
Yeah, one of the members of the ward said to another member, he says, "What are we going to do about old Cy Balls?" And it was Barney Hoof. Barney Hoof said, "Well, what do you mean, what are we going to do about him?" And he says, "Well, why can't we get him to come to church?" And Barney says, "You just leave Cy Balls alone. If everybody was as good as Cy Balls, well, this would be a better world."
Well, that's true. I'd never heard that, Marge. And now you'd mentioned how your brother Merrill was kind of particular. So tell this other story on him.
Well, Merrill was very fastidious and very fussy with his clothes. Martha reminded me of him. He would take off his clothes. Mother was just always continually ironing his clothes. He would take off the pants that he had worn, and Mac would come along and put them back on and wear them because they looked clean to him. But at that time, why, I was married, and I had a little Singer sewing machine, and he wanted me to make his shirts for him. And his take on it was they were not homemade, they were custom made. And I marvel that I was ever able to satisfy him with my sewing, but he was thrilled with it. And I need to tell you another thing. When Merrill and Mac bought a car from Henry Swenson, and it was a fancy little Ford. I think it was a Ford. I'm not sure what year, like a 39 maybe. And they had me rit dye the inside of it, the seats and the ceiling, and it looked pretty fancy.
They were dudes for a while, weren't they?
They were.
We were talking about our dad never noticing the cold. So tell a little bit more about that, Marge.
Well, you know, winter and summer, he always wore, we called them monkey skin gloves. They weren't leather gloves.
Orange.
Yeah, they weren't. My hands get cold just going out to feed the animals, and I can't imagine how Dad could go all those years with never having real warm gloves to wear out when he went to feed the cows and pitch the hay and everything like that. And he did not have arthritis in his hands, so I just marvel that he was able to do that.
You better tell about his missing finger.
Oh, yes. It was on April Fool's, and this was probably before I was born. I'm not sure what year it was, but Dad had been out chopping wood, and he chopped off his middle finger about at the knuckle. And he came in the house and he told Mother, he says, "Well, I chopped off my finger." And she says, "Oh, yeah, April Fool." And she turned around and he was really white and he was about ready to pass out. And so they caught him a ride on, they didn't have a car, so they caught him a ride on the milk wagon over to town to the doctor. And it was Dr. Beal that was the doctor that was taking care of him, and he had a drinking problem, and he was kind of recovering from a drunk, and he looked at it and shook his head, and he says, "How in the hell did you do that?" He got the middle finger, and he says, "I'm going to take it off right down to the knuckle, because if you leave that little
stub
on there, it'll just be in the way." And Dad had a lot of fun with that finger being off. He would tell kids that he'd cut their ears off, and that's what happened to his finger. And he would joke with them, and he enjoyed having that finger gone. Never slowed him down a bit.
Yeah, he did a lot of work. And then you did mention you wanted to tell a chocolate story. I think you could leave it out. But
this is my dear sister Martha. She loved mint chocolates, and looking over the Christmas catalogs, why, she made out her Christmas order for gifts for everybody, and she ordered a box of mint chocolates, and I'm not sure who she intended them for, but I found the box of mint chocolates up under the bed, and they were all gone. She'd eaten every one of them.
I thought I left the upper layer.
Oh, no.
No. Well, they were awful tempting. Now we're going to talk a little bit about your teenage years, Marge. And what was your favorite activity as a teenager, do you think? The thing you enjoyed the most?
I don't know. In the summer, we'd play softball downtown. I never was a very good player, but I'd catch the ball till it got right to my hand and then just go right through. But I had a lot of fun. And we had a lot of fun as a group of girls from Fairview that to playing ball. And high school was probably like it was for everybody else. I was trying to find myself and trying to be somebody and never did quite make the grade. But
that was like me. It was a hard time. Was there something you were especially good at in high school?
No.
Well, that tells it right there. But everybody liked you, Marge.
I hope.
I remember, and you probably remember this too, Pep Stars was a big thing, and neither one of us made it into the Pep Stars, and you felt like you hadn't made it if you didn't get in that.
That's right.
But it was so, meant a lot to us then, and now as I look back, it didn't mean a thing.
That's right.
Didn't mean a thing. What books did you like to read in those days?
I read, in history class, I was reading Grapes of Wrath and got caught reading that by my teacher, and he says, this is one way to get history, but not in my class. But his history class was very boring. And that was to try to stay awake.
Well, that was a classic.
I know, but he didn't
appreciate
it.
Who was your teacher?
Carwin Linford.
Oh.
And we sat in the sun, and it was so hard to stay awake in the sun.
And he was boring.
Well, he'd have the students read the text, and it was, a lot of them couldn't read, and it was very boring.
Well, I kind of agree.
And I liked Gone with the Wind. Other than that, I didn't read very much because I'd rather be outside doing things.
You enjoyed the outdoors more than reading.
Right.
What were your favorite radio shows?
Oh, they were all so wonderful. I liked Fibber McGee and Molly, and I liked Luigi Basco. I liked Jack Benny, and I liked Red Skelton.
Mm-hmm.
They were wonderful.
Do you remember the...
Oh, the soap operas. I'd come home from school, and our gal Sunday would be on, and it was, can this little girl from the mining town in the West find happiness married to England's richest, most handsome lord?
I remember.
That was on. Mother was listening to that when we'd get home from school. And then there was Helen Trant was on, too, and that was another soap.
One of the questions here is, what were your favorite radio and television programs? We didn't have television. That tells our age.
No. When I was married, first married, why, Garland Toland was my father-in-law, and he got a television in down to Auburn, and, oh, they were terrible. It was just, he had, like, four big poles up outside trying to get a signal from Idaho Falls, and he'd say, come here, and look at this picture. You can almost see him blink. It was pretty bad.
I agree. Tell me a little bit about the teenage music then. What was it like?
Well, our high school dances were all held down at the Ballyon. I can't tell you what the songs were.
Turner.
Yeah, Ern Turner's band would usually play, and the junior prom committee would decorate the hall each year, and that they would help pay for the decorations, the Ballyon, and then they'd leave those decorations up all year, and we had lots of good dances down there. They were
good.
I can't say that I was a real swinger, because I wasn't. But it was fun.
It does ask if you went to the school dances, and we did. Tell a little bit more about what they were like. How did the teenagers dance then?
Oh, there was jitterbug and waltzing, and dancing was taught in the Mutual, so the kids learned how to dance, and it was fun. It was really fun. We had special dances like Sadie Hawkins dance, where we'd all dress up like Sadie Hawkins characters, and then they had the proms, and it was...
What I remember is the dance cards.
Yes. If you could fill up a dance card, you were pretty lucky. I never could.
I couldn't either. But those were outstanding dances.
They were.
We had a lot of good dances. Well, let's talk a little bit about your home responsibilities when you were a teenager.
Well, I had to clean Mac and Merrill's room, and that was a major undertaking. And my mother said she never realized it was such a job till I left home, and then she could appreciate.
What else did
you? We had to do the dishes, Martha and I, and I always felt like she would hurry up and pick them up, and it was up to me to wash them. And I was standing there for a long time after Martha was all done. But she was a good one to manipulate me in my work.
I think she's telling a fib there. It's not true at all. I think we hated doing dishes, that's for sure. We'd always leave all the pans to soak. I bet Mother got tired of that.
She was very patient. Very good, very patient.
Marge is taking her bread out at this time, so there'll be a slight... Sure looks like good bread.
Okay, it's out.
Okay. Well, Marge, did anything difficult happen to you as a teenager that stands out in your mind?
Oh, I think one, I asked a boy to Girls' Day, and he turned me down, and that was heartbreaking. I never got over it.
Was it somebody you really liked?
Oh, not necessarily.
It was just a date.
Just everybody was asking a boy, so I asked him, and he chose not to.
And we care so much at that time.
About what everybody thinks.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your friends. Who were your friends then? And what did you like to do with them?
Well, in grade school, there was... the girls I grew up with here in Fairview, we were real close. In high school, Jewel Hoops was my good friend, and I had a lot of fun with her. She had her brother Lowell's car a lot, and we did some crazy things, and she was a lot of fun. And then I had Gail Allred, who later was my sister-in-law, and then my second cousin, Gail Erickson. We were really good friends, and we had a lot of fun together.
Talk a little bit about Legette.
Legette Erickson was my next door neighbor, and we never really, I didn't measure up to her. I don't know. She didn't really want to go around with me. I wasn't of her class at that time. But
tell about your trip to California.
Oh yeah, when I was a year after the year I got. Between junior and senior, or sophomore and junior, I worked at the Pilot Cafe for Mabel Allred, and that was Gail Allred's mother, and Marcia Erickson had a convertible, a Ford convertible, and she asked us if we wanted to go to California with her, and heavens, yeah, that sounded great to us, and my mother wasn't going to let me go because I was too young to go to California, and anyway... She was
How old were you, Marge? Probably.
15, maybe. Mm-hmm. Probably 15. Okay. Prevailed upon me to, mother to let me go. And so we took our summer wages and went to California. And they all had fairly dark skin, and we rode across the salt flats in with the top down, and when we got to Elko, why, I was toasted really good because I was just burnt to a crisp. Mm-hmm. It was, I guess we had fun. It was, we went to San Francisco and had our shorts and everything on, about froze, and it was a memorable trip anyway.
I saw the ocean.
Yeah, I saw the ocean, and it was pretty. We went through the redwoods and went up to Oregon and then come back home, and it was a good trip, I guess.
An adventure.
Yes.
It was an adventure. Did you ever like someone really well who didn't like you in high school?
Not that I can think of right now.
Not especially then, huh? Mm-hmm. What memories do you have of your church meetings and activities?
I liked Mutual. We had a lot of fun at Mutual, and we always had activities on Tuesday night. And Eldon Allred, he put on a play, and that was probably some, maybe that was the reason it was the last plays he put on. I was in one of his plays. Maybe that was the end when I was in one of his plays, but it was fun. And we went around the valley and played these shows to the different audiences, and I guess that was just before television came in, and television kind of did away with that, but it was fun to... And then we'd have... each ward would have a real quick one, and a show, and we'd... What did they call that, Martha?
Road show.
Yeah, a road show, and we went around and did road shows, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. Each town would have a short one, and we'd travel on a Tuesday night and go present these shows to the people in the ward, and that was a lot of fun.
What memories do you have of the old church house? You know, we don't have one in Fairview anymore.
It was a good building. It was, I thought it was beautiful. And we had a good hardwood floor in there. And Harry Bruce, when Mac and Merrill were teenagers, why, they were down there a lot and played ball. And the kids in Fairview would, there was a lot of the kids in Fairview, Blair Hillstead and Farrell Brown, and a lot of the kids from Fairview were real good ball players in the high school. And Harry Bruce said it was because they had a place to go and play their ball, and that was the church house in Fairview. And it was good for the youth in Fairview. We did have an opportunity to go there and take...
That was when Reed Brown was their teacher.
Yes.
And he liked ball.
Yeah.
Well, tell a little bit about what happened to Mac.
When he was like 5 years old, going on six, he and Merrill were on our horse named Brownie, and they'd gone down toward Fairview, and Brownie was noted for running for home. You couldn't control him, and they weren't exactly what you'd call great horsemen, and Brownie started running toward home, and they started bouncing back and forth on the horse, and Mac fell off and lit on his head, and he had a real bad injury. Ob Bagley came along and came and got Dad. He had just come in for dinner. He'd been down irrigating, and they rushed him over to the hospital. Mother was at conference. It was on a Sunday, and Dr. Worthen said he had a fracture in his head, was like an H, and he told him that he didn't think that he would live, that he would make it. Mac had convulsions, and Mother called her uncle Albert Barris to come over and administer to Mac, and he promised him that he would get better. And Dr. Worthen shook his head, and he says, I thought Brother Barris had made a real big mistake. He says, that boy can't get better. But Mac did get better. And he played football, and he played for the University of Wyoming.
He was a good basketball player.
Yes, he was an outstanding athlete and an outstanding person.
Well, you've kind of covered your teenage years. Now let's talk about your adult life. When did you decide what career you wanted to go to, or what were your plans for the future?
Well, everybody wanted to be a stewardess then, and I was going to be a stewardess, but that didn't happen. I got married when I was 17 years old, and I went through the school of hard knocks.
Where did you meet Larry?
At a dance. And
what was your first impression of him?
He was a boy. He was nice looking, and we had a lot of fun together. We got married in October of...
Where were you married?
In Mother and Dad's house. Mm-hmm. And we went to live in Ogden for a little while, and then we moved back to Auburn, and we lived in his great-grandmother Erickson's house, and it was just a shell of a house. We had to put our stuff in the fridge to keep it from freezing. It was a darn cold house. I mopped the floor one day and spilled the mop water and didn't have a thing to wipe up because it just drained out the edges. It didn't even...
It was really cozy.
It was a cold house. It was...
Oh.
Anyway, we went to... He got a job out in LaBarge, and we were feeding cattle out there, and we lived in a log house that had a dirt roof. None of these houses had indoor plumbing, but that was okay. But it was a warm house, at least. It was very warm.
I remember going to see you once there.
Yeah, it was... Despite the dirt roof, it was a very warm house, and we'd been down to Cleveland Elaine Heights to play games one night, and on the way home, we got stuck in a snowdrift and had to walk into the house. It was probably a mile, and all I had on was moccasins, and that froze when I got into the house, and of course there wasn't a fire going, and we did have an electric blanket, and I turned on the electric blanket and went to get in bed, and the bed started on fire.
Oh, no.
That was not a good night.
And it was probably really cold.
It was cold.
Yeah. What do you especially remember about your wedding day? I remember one thing. I remember you had a cold sore.
Well, I happened to be get married three times, and every time I had a cold sore, and that should have told me something, because all three of them did not work out.
What was it like to be a newlywed in those days? What did they do for receptions and things?
Oh, we had a shower in the house, and everybody, I still have the cards from the gifts that I received. The people in Fairview, they all would come and
towels were the most popular, weren't they?
Yeah, your trousseau and congratulate you. And it was a lot of good people in Fairview.
Yes. What memorable or humorous adventures did you have during all those years?
Well, we moved up to Jackson one winter and we're feeding cattle up there, and we were snowed in, and I had a neighbor down the road a little ways. Once a week we'd break trail out and go out to where the car was so we could go to town, and I always thought it was kind of silly because the snow would all drift back in where we'd made the trail, and I thought, well, why don't they just go through the middle of the field? It looks like it would be shorter and less snow. And so I tried it with the team to go over to see my friend, and I got the horses high-centered in a ditch, and the foreman of the ranch was not very happy with me because the horse cut its leg, and I got cussed big time. There's a knock on the door.
Well, let's go on. What was it like to become a parent for the first time? How did you feel?
Wonderful. I wanted a baby. Scott was my first child, and he was a little redheaded boy, and he was very cute. He was really smart. When we lived up in Jackson, the coyotes would howl around the house, and I was sitting in the kitchen one evening feeding him, and he could, you could hear the coyotes right around the house, and he all of a sudden, he just started howling like a coyote.
Oh!
That tickled my dad so much, he'd have to take him in the pool hall when we got down here to let the guys hear him howl like a coyote.
I've never heard that. Well, tell about your children, their names, and in what order they are, and where were they born?
My second child is Lori. She was born in Afton. She has two girls of her own and lives down in Idaho. And then my third child was Kim, and he was born in Vernal, Utah. We were living down there at the time. And he has two sons. Scott has two daughters. And they're all a joy to me. They've always been so good to me. And the boys had a few difficulties in their grown-up years. But we all do. And they're all good people, and we all are doing well now.
Tell a little bit about the twins you lost.
Between Lori and Scott, I had twins, that was a boy and a girl, and the boy was born dead, the girl was alive when she was born, but they were very premature and they did not live. Nowadays they probably could have saved them, but they were born in 56 and there wasn't anything they could do to help them.
Mm-hmm. And what did you name them?
Jean and Jan.
Jean and Jan. Now, during your adult years, where have you lived during your married life?
Auburn and Afton, and then Vernal and
Now, why did you move to all these places?
Well, we moved to Afton for warmth. And then Larry was working for the Forest Service, and he was transferred to Vernal, and we lived in Vernal for a while, and that was nice. I liked Vernal. That's where Kim was born. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Ogden. We were transferred there, and we lived there for about 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then Larry and I divorced, and I moved to Star Valley to be near my family up here and to raise my children up here, and that's when I moved into the house I'm living in now, which is the house I was born in.
Tell a little bit how have you come to get that house?
Well, there was a job opening over at Star Studs, and they called and asked Martha if she wanted it, and so they called and asked me if I wanted it, and I was working at the city garage down there as a secretary, and I moved up here, and it was, this house was on the market at that time, and my folks helped me buy it, and it needed lots of TLC, and it was, I moved up here like the first part of April, and my brothers and sister and sister-in-laws and dad all pitched in, and
those were good times. I
worked
remember that.
On this house and brought it back to the beautiful home that it is today, and it was a fun time for all of us, and we all grew closer together because of that.
I agree, and it's a beautiful home now. It's so beautiful. March has used her talents to fix it up. What talents did you discover in yourself as you went through your marriage? I can think of some.
Well, I liked to cook. And I liked being home with my family. I've always been a farmer, and I like to grow things. And
tell about your knitting and your rug making.
When I had time, I used to knit and make sweaters for my kids and gifts, and then I took a class. I've always been interested in braided rugs, and I took a class down in Ogden and learned how to do them, and I enjoy that very much also.
She's working on one right now. They're beautiful. Um, What did you like to do with your kids for entertainment? I can think of something you told me you used to do when you lived in Ogden.
We always liked to hike. We went up to, I think it was called Angel Falls. We'd hike up there, and then we'd go up Pine Basin, and there was a stream that used to flow into that, and we'd go up there and play in that stream. And coast, we'd go over to the city park and we could coast. And we always did things that didn't cost any money because we didn't have any money.
Tell about going to the cemetery.
Oh, yeah. Another thing, my kids tell me how deprived they were, because one of our entertainments was to go down on Main Street of Washington in Ogden, and we'd go down to Lindquist Mortuary and watch the waterfall. The waterfalls they had out front, because they would change color, and they were really beautiful. And then we'd go to the Ogden City Cemetery and look at the headstones, and they were very interesting. There was one section that was for the Orientals, and they had little places where they'd leave food for them, and it was fun. It sounds really morbid, but it was entertainment.
You probably learned a lot of history.
Yes, there was some real interesting hits. One of them was shaped like a big tree stump, and it had a vine growing around it, and the fellows said something that he was a woodsman, and I don't know, you do learn a lot of history, and it was interesting.
And your kids probably talk about it, don't they?
Oh yeah, tease me about it.
Yeah. Well, Marge, I know you have had some tough times, and do you want to mention any of the personal tragedies in your life?
Larry and I divorced, and that was very hard on me, because I thought I'd be married to him forever, and that's not the way it ended. And I was going to college up at Weber State at the time, and I'd passed out in one of the classes, and they took me to this counselor, and she was talking to me, and she was asking me questions and things, and she told me that she thought I was probably the most I had the view that everything would be all right, that it was like in the movies, that you'd all ride off into the sunset and all would be right, and and that's not the way life is. And then I met Clyde Dover, and he was good to me and good for me in lots of ways. He was like a knight in shining armor. He took me places that I'd never been and wined and dined me, and he just had a wandering eye. That was his problem. And so we divorced, and then heavens knows why I married Bob Kimball, but I did, and that was another mistake, so I'm not lucky in love.
Well, you had asked the family's advice, and we thought it would be security for you. So, I think you should mention a friend that got you into mountain climbing.
I met when I was working at Star Valley State Bank. I met Scott Comstock. He came in there as a customer, and I had really a lot in common with Scott Comstock. He liked the outdoors like I did, and he called me one day from Jackson. He was working up there, and he says, "Do you really mean that you would like to climb the Tetons?" And I says, "Yeah, I would." And so he registered us in a school up there, and we learned how to rope climb, and I climbed the Grand Teton with Scott Comstock that in July of that year. And
tell how old you were.
I was 50 years old when I started doing that, and I think my life began at 50 when it come to a companion, because he was a good companion for me, and I hadn't skied since I was a kid, and skied off the hill across from the house, and We went up to ski, and I didn't. I just thought you put skis on, went down the hill, and he got off the chairlift, and I took off down the hill, and I didn't know how to turn or anything. And he says, I thought I'd probably pick you up, wrapped around a tree, and have to take you back to your parents as a corpse. And anyway, that afternoon I took lessons, and I did enjoy skiing. And then we hiked all over the mountains in Star Valley, and I climbed the Grand in the middle in the south, and Tiwanat. Our last conquest that we tried to do was not successful.
Well, the one thing that I think Scott did for you, he made you feel good about yourself, didn't he?
He made me feel good about myself, and it was a time in my life where I didn't have a lot of self-confidence, and mm-hmm. if anything had come up, why, he would say, you can do that, Marge. And I'd say, oh, I can't, I'm not smart enough. And he says, yes, you are smart enough, you can do that, Marge. And
Your husbands didn't do that for you.
No, I really appreciated that. And then he became ill, and he had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he passed away, and I miss him. He was a very good influence on me in my life.
It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
What about, I know you have a testimony. Would you like to kind of tell your feelings about how you feel about life and about
I think
your
life
family.
Is wonderful. I have, my parents were the best. I appreciate my brothers and sisters, and I'm so thankful for my home and the privilege of living in this beautiful valley, and for the blessings that we enjoy here, and for the health that I have, and the health of my children, and the blessing that they are to me. And I would wish that every child could have a good childhood like I did, and have the good parents that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate all that I have.
Mention a bit about the patriotism of our family.
My mother was born on the 4th of July, and she was so patriotic. She would cry when she would see the flag, and the 4th of July was such an important day to her, not only because it was her birthday, but because it was the birth of our country. And she instilled that in the love of our country into each and every one of us. And we are lucky to live in this beautiful land.
We are. The good old USA. Well, thank you, Marge. Appreciate your remarks. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that I appreciate this opportunity, and I thank you very much.
Okay.